Yes, Commissioner Hoffman.
Ready to start?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. We're calling to order the Committee on MDC Government, a special meeting on Monday, January 4th at 4 p.m. I would ask that if there are any public comments, to make some noise so I can hear you relative to agenda items at this point in the meeting. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 3, the approval of the meeting minutes of December 7th. Could I have a motion?
Option.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposition? Passed. Item 4. Thank you. Item 4. We have to take care of one item of business at this meeting, and that's the consideration and potential action of the appointment for legislative consultants. And with that, I'm going to ask Attorney Stone to give a detail of the attached explanation of what we have proposed at this point. There are some changes, so although it appears to be the case that we're continuing pretty much the same way, there are some minor details that need to be changed. So if I could have Attorney Stone make those comments.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you to the committee for considering taking this action tonight. As you know, our legislative representatives, both at the state and federal level, are approved each year. Their appointments are yearly appointments, and it's around this time each year that we consider either renewing those who we have or replacing those who we have. As the chairman pointed out this evening, it's the recommendation of staff to retain the 4 legislative representatives that we have. They are namely Gaffney Bennett & Associates, SJB Strategies LLC, Strategic Outreach Solutions LLC, and Squire Patton Boggs out of Washington, D.C. Gaffney Bennett Associates is Brendan Fox. SJB is Attorney Steve Bonafonte. And Strategic Outreach Solutions is Janice Fleming. With Squire Patton Boggs, as you know, we've dealt in the past, and I'm sure we'll continue to deal with former Congressman Bill Schuster. He has spoken before. I know the full board, I think he's spoken before of this committee, but you'll certainly have an opportunity to speak with him remotely over the next couple weeks. But those are the faces behind the entities as described in the memo. The change from last year doesn't relate to who our representatives are, but there's a recommendation to increase the compensation for those representatives. Right now, Gaffney Bennett receives $40,000 per year for their state lobbying work. We're proposing an increase of that fee to $60,000 per year. SJB Strategies receives $20,000 a year for their state work and $70,000 per year for the federal work. We're suggesting that remain the same. And Strategic Outreach Solutions receives $50,000 for their state lobbying work, and we're proposing an increase to $60,000. Lastly, Squire Patton Boggs receives $150,000 for their work as our federal lobbyist. They work in conjunction with Steve Bonafonte. We're proposing that remain the same as well. The basis for the increase is twofold. The first is that we are tasking both are the state lobbyists that are getting an increase with somewhat more diversified work in relation to the, in Janice's case, she's developed a very good relationship with the Black and Hispanic caucus up at the legislature. She's developed a very good rapport with our urban legislators, both within the district and outside the district. And there's going to be much more, we feel, much more work in those two arenas over the next several months. We had a taste of that last year with the passage of the police accountability bill. There'll be more of that. Some of that may affect the district, both in terms of assistance to people who are having difficulty paying not just their water bill, but their utility bills generally. There's some legislation that's come out of the federal government dealing with assistance for those who are having difficulty paying those utilities. And there's also work in terms of, particular to the MDC, the Clean Water Project and the need to really work as a liaison between our legislators and the general public. Oftentimes, and we're seeing it a lot more lately, quite frankly, than we've had in the past. Individuals who have either difficulty paying their bills or have questions about their bills, because of the increased publicity the MDC has had and attention the MDC has had in the legislature over the past several years, are calling their legislative representatives almost as often as they'll call any of our commissioners or even staff at the customer service at the MDC. And it's those in the legislators, and you've all had conversations with the legislators, quite frankly, over the past several months, where they go to you and then we in turn respond directly to the legislators' comments or questions. But there are more and more people, customers, are going to their state representatives and senators to address not, I won't say, just negative comments. And those are becoming fewer and fewer, quite frankly. And that's because of the hard work of our outreach staff and our lobbyists. But more questions about why things are happening or what's the basis for a fee or what is the status of the Clean Water Project or why have there been, we've seen increases in our water bills. And again, not to complain, but just to find out. And as hard as we work to get that message out, you can never deliver the message too often or too many times. So we feel that extra outreach is going to be necessary come this legislative session. The second thing is, and this particularly relates to Brendan, we have an existing contract with a law firm, J. Malsinski and Associates, and they do a lot of work for us in terms of the legal need and legal interpretation on what's going on with the legislature, what's happening with legislation in the legislature as it relates to the legal consequences or legal effects on the NDC, as well as some, to some extent, some lobbying. But for the most part, it's a need that we, quite frankly, don't have right now. And what we're going to do, we're going to still deal with the legal issues at the legislature, but we're going to do that through Brendan. And to the extent there is any gaps that need to be filled, you'll do that. We'll do that through my office. We're trying to do more in house, as I've indicated to you over the past several months. We have the capable staff to deal with issues that, quite frankly, maybe we've gone outside before, but we're trying to retain it inside as much as we can. Still looking after the district's best interest, but doing more inside than we have in the past. So rather than renew the contract with Attorney Malsinski, we're taking that contract and in a very minor part of it, we're taking the monies that would otherwise be paid under that contract and moving them and shifting the responsibilities and some of the money over to Brendan. So for those two reasons, one as to Brendan and one as to Janice, we're asking for this committee to approve and recommend to the district board an increase in their two payments, both equal 60. We're bringing them up to parity, but we feel that that's appropriate at this time, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions any members might have.
Before we go further, I failed to ask for a motion to bring that forward. And so I do need a motion.
Adoption.
Second.
Thank you. And with that, Attorney Stone, I'm going to ask you if Brendan Fox is on the phone so that I could pose a question or two to him. Is that possible?
Well, absolutely. I just have one more comment.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's my fault. I forgot to include the total amount that we'll be paying these two state lobbyists in the aggregate is $120,000, or suggested to be paid them, I should say, is $120,000. You recall that prior to retaining Janice, we had not only Brendan as a lobbyist for $40,000 a year, but we also had Pat McCabe at $40,000 a year and Richard Balducci at $40,000 a year. At that time, the total payment to our state lobbyists was $120,000. We're at that same number with Brendan and Janice. It's just distributed between two entities as opposed to three. So I just wanted to make that historical perspective as to the amounts being paid. But Brendan, you can ready yourself for a question from the chair.
Yeah, and so I will also make time to raise questions as well. There's a lot of I don't know if that's something controlled by.
Commissioner Hoffman.
Commissioner Hoffman, you were kind of cutting out and fading away there for a second.
Totally, totally.
Oh, sorry about that. So, Commissioner, we do have Attorney Fox on the phone, correct?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Thank you. So, I just wanted to start with a couple of questions for you to allow you to just give an idea of what it is, not exactly what you're doing, but pretty much a summary what you intend to do and so forth. So, and without revealing any particular strategy or, you know, tactic that you may use, what are the higher priorities that your group now will have for the legislative session? What might those priorities be?
If I understand the question, Commissioner Hoffman, you were interested in knowing what the priorities of this coming session will be. You were cutting out, but assuming that that is the question, I'll answer that question. It's going to be a very interesting session this year. It begins on Wednesday. As you have read in the paper, it will be a virtual session. It is, as far as I know right now, it's undetermined as to how active the session will be. And what I mean by that is, historically, in a long session, which this will be, you have approximately 4,000 bills introduced by legislators. That, however, allows that, as you know, that's when the legislature and the General Assembly is functioning normally. They will not be doing that this year. The public is not going to be invited into the building because of the COVID-19 pandemic that we're currently experiencing. They hope to open it at some point during the session. They've indicated April, but that is dependent upon the distribution of the vaccine and things of that sort. So first, it's going to be different. Everything will be virtual. Everything will be via Zoom and YouTube. Nevertheless, we have to maintain contact, especially with our MDC delegation. Last year, you may recall, Commissioner Hoffman, that we made a concerted effort to sit down with each and every member of the MDC delegation, legislative delegation, which we were able to do before business stopped up there in March. There are new members of the delegation. Some members of the delegation chose not to run. One member went from the House to the Senate. So we've got Janice and Fleming and I spoke this afternoon. We intend to reach out to those new members to introduce the MDC to them, introduce ourselves to them, and also reconnect with the other members. Just again, we want to keep those lines of communication open, especially in this different year. From a legislative standpoint, one thing we've already been working on, as you may recall, the MDC filed an application with the Claims Commissioner about 3 years ago seeking the authority to commence an action against the state DEEP in particular to collect discharge fees that were not being paid by the state to the MDC. The Claims Commissioner never resolved that issue one way or the other, and under statute she's required to submit that to the General Assembly. She did that last year. That will be taken up by the Judiciary Committee initially, and then hopefully the General Assembly as a whole during this current session. As you may recall, Commissioner Hoffman, from your days in the General Assembly, it's not frequent that the Judiciary Committee will allow a claim. It certainly happens. It's not unprecedented, but it's not the norm either. So we have our work cut out for us with the members, the leadership of the Judiciary Committee, to educate them, again, as to our claim. Through the efforts and the help of Henry Jenga, our House member from East Hartford, we have submitted a letter to the leadership of the committee, signed by each and every member of the delegation, the MDC delegation, requesting that they move this claim forward and that they give us one of two possible paths of relief. One is to allow us to commence an action against the state in Superior Court. The second resolution that we've asked them to consider is to make a direct award to the MDC in the amount of $8.7 million. We have filed paperwork with the committee seeking a meeting with leadership. We've been told we will get that meeting. The second issue that's going to be of importance to the MDC is the issue of PFAS. You certainly recall hearing that term. The Public Health Committee had again entertained it last year, but it never got far enough before the session ended for anyone to come to any conclusions. But I do believe that the Public Health Committee will be pursuing that issue again this year. That's of critical importance to the MDC, especially because we have operations both on the water side and on the wastewater side. And it's unknown at this point where the responsibilities will lie or what the standards might be. But we will be following that closely and certainly advocating on behalf of the MDC with regard to the issue. Finally, and I do not know whether this will come again, arise again, but toward the beginning of March, some members of the MDC delegation had raised a bill in the Planning and Development Committee, as well as the Energy and Technology Committee, that would have required a study be done of the MDC operations, the potential for an alteration in the composition of the board and things of that sort. That bill was raised by Senator Derek Slapp and Senator Matt Lesser. We had, obviously, discussions with them. Everything was shut down in the middle of March, and therefore that bill did not go anywhere. I do not know whether they intend to raise a bill like that again. If it's raised, we certainly would be advocating against that bill. And then finally, Commissioner Hoffman, you know, they're, again, dependent upon how much legislative activity leadership will allow. There will be other bills, I'm sure, that will be raised that will be of interest to the MDC and other utility companies, but especially the MDC.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. For that explanation, and I would like to, since you just addressed the state issues, which is fine. I don't know if Mr. Bonifante is on the phone or not to respond to some similar activities at the federal level.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me, Steve Bonifante? Thank you. Happy to discuss a little bit about it, and certainly Congressman Schuster, assuming everything goes and he's reappointed, will be happy to to join us at another meeting to talk a little bit more about what's going to evolve even over the next few days in Washington. As I think we've all been watching, it's going to be a very interesting couple of days with issues relating to the objections to of the Electoral College as well as the Senate runoff races. So we've spent the past year working diligently, not only trying to make sure that people don't forget how important our issues are in Congress, but also reactively to bills that have been emerging, but unfortunately haven't gone as far as we would have liked them to, namely on infrastructure and other programs that would be to the benefit of the MVC. One of the things that we were successful in doing, as you may have heard from a previous report, and we'll prepare a memo for you for maybe February for another meeting and go into more detail regarding a bill that was passed providing for emergency assistance for lower income folks, similar to what Operation Fuel does for energy. There was a bill that was passed that would relate to low income facility for water bills. Now, one of the things that was in that initial bill related to having the water utility be responsible for determining eligibility and creating a very burdensome administrative process to manage those funds. We were able to provide alternate language to Senator Schumer in the Senate as well as to House members that removed a lot of that language. So that was something that we felt was very productive on our efforts, because that will hopefully allow us to leverage Operation Fuel and existing programs to get that money in the hands of our customers that may need that relief without having to create a completely different and new bureaucracy to do that. So that was one thing that, in the very near term, we were successful in doing. The financial capability, the EPA has had a call to for comment, and over the course of 2021, they're going to be looking at how they manage their standards for what affordability is for urban areas and what the calculations are, how they go about determining what eligibility and what the affordability is to pay for clean water projects like we are paying for. So that for Hartford, particularly, and for our region, is important, because depending on how that calculation may change, we've provided written comments to that and are watching as they make those regulation changes over the next couple of quarters in 2021 can make a big difference on what type of relief we may be able to receive, both in terms of time for the consent decrees and also in terms of funding that may be targeted for lower income and more challenged neighborhoods, of which we certain some of the census tracts in Hartford would be eligible. And I guess thirdly, and most optimistically, we hear always about major infrastructure packages and larger bills that may be oncoming, may be forthcoming. We're probably the most encouraged, as we have been in the last couple of years, that this Congress is actually has the political will and probably the motivation to move something forward for a variety of reasons, whether it's COVID, the economic stimulus, or otherwise, but also because what we've heard about is the opportunity for directed spending, congressional spending, and we might call that pejoratively or otherwise earmarks. And to the extent that that comes back, then that could be something that we particularly find will be helpful to us for a variety of reasons that we can talk about again at a future meeting. But we've spent a lot of time putting ourselves in front of members of Congress and letting them know who we are, the MDC, and why our issues are really nonpartisan, but also very important, and why we remain ready for very specific funding for projects. We've developed a short list internally of almost like a wish list of very specific projects that would be able to be funded to the tune of $20 to $100 million each, and we're going through those again internally to try and rank those as we go back down before them. So,
right. Thank you for that, Steve. I was pondering whether or not to raise what, in each case, federal and state, what might be a particularly large impediment to making the progress that we determine is essential for MDC and its customers. But I think it's pretty clear that whether we're talking about state or federal, at this moment in time, I think the impediments are pretty clear. So we'll just have to see how they all sort of. With that, I'll be happy to entertain questions from commissioners. I can't hear you, so.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner LaBelle.
Commissioner LaBelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to pose a question back to Attorney Stone. I just wanted a clarification on the having a hard time, following the figures. You had said that in the recent past, we had three different lobbyists at the state at 40, 40, and 40. And so that kind of equals what we're doing this year. Was that last year we had those three, or was that the year before last?
It was just before Janice joined, and I think Janice has been with us. Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, for a year, or has it been 2 years, Bill?
Janice, I think she's on the phone, but I think it's 1 year.
Hi, I'm Janice. Sorry, I was having a hard time with the video piece. I don't know. I could see you guys, but I couldn't hear or connect, so I just dialed in.
Janice, are you in your, is 2021 going to be your second or third year as our lobbyist?
Second year.
Thank you. Okay, so Gary, I'm sorry, Commissioner LeBeau, to answer your question, in 2019, there were, in addition to Steve Bonafanti, who I handle separately only because he does state and federal, but there were three primary state lobbyists, Gaffney Bennett, Capital Strategies, which is Pat McCabe's group, and Richard Balducci. The total was $120,000, as I indicated, divided up by three. This is the same number, aggregate number of 120 divided by two.
So that was last year, or that was 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago, 2019.
So what was it last year?
Last year it was still two. We went down from three to two, and we spent, Janice was paid $50,000 a year, and Brendan, $40,000 a year. Total of 90.
So it went to 90. Now it's bouncing back up to 120.
It is. It's been recommended to bounce up. And it's, for in large part, they're taking on more responsibility. And as to Brendan, he's taken on some of the legal aspects of what happens up at the Capitol, which was at one point performed by Jay Malczynski.
Exactly.
Well, I would comment that I can see where the load will be greater going forward, and particularly with the Judiciary Committee, if we can get that working in terms of the process that allows us to try to get some recompense for everything that's been happening with the former dump. And it just seems that's a major struggle, given the fact that I think it was mentioned that this is not something that happens every day, that the state allows itself either to be sued or to make good with a direct grant to take care of the problem. So I think that is quite a load to carry. And probably right there justifies the increase in the fees that we need to carry as an organization to help make this happen. And I guess I'm speaking in favor of the motion by saying that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions from commissioners? Ask again. Further questions from commissioners? Hearing none, we do have a motion properly on the table, seconded. We do have a quorum. So if I can ask the clerk, I don't think we need a roll call. We just need a voice vote. Is that correct, Mr. Clerk?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So I'll call for that vote now. All those in favor of moving the appointment described, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Unanimously. And now we have an opportunity for general public comments, if there are any. I don't know that there are any members of the public on the phone. Seeing none, again, we can have an opportunity for further commissioner comments or questions. Hearing none, call for the appropriate motion.
Move to adjourn.
Move we adjourn.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.